Okay, before we go there.
Yes.
What's your story?
My story is, at a young age, before I got a relationship with God or Jesus, you know, my parents were Catholic. I was christened. I thought I was grown up before I really grew up, like I'm sure some of y'all can relate to. And I turned to the streets and I turned to drugs for comfort because I didn't know how to rationalize any of my thoughts while I was upset or anything. So I turned to what I knew the easiest comfort instead of what really is comfort. And I've been trying to quit these last couple years after 25 years of roofing and using to block the pain out and realize that I didn't know how to stop. You know what I mean? I never had tried to stop. I just accepted the fact that I was an addict. And I'm not going to turn this into an enemy. God has just put it on my heart this last couple of years. Not only that, I have my nanny and pop-pop up there that are working with me, and I'm getting the signs that, and the desire, not just the signs, the burning desire, that I gotta give all this crap up. I gotta get closer to God this time, before it's too late. I had an accident in January and I passed away, and I was brought back. Yeah, it was unexpected fluke play, and I wasn't ready. And that's when I got the signs and God said, listen, you need to...
That'll wake you up, nothing just, will, man.
Just 2 days ago, God put it in my mind. I said, Lord, I'm reading my horoscope. I said, God, it's all about business. I'm a $20 an hour man. I've been roofing 22 years in this county on these streets. Why am I not working right now? Where's work? I want to work. It's something that I'm going through right now where God says, listen, this is I'm going to give you an insight of my plan. But you have to be willing to make these simple commitments. And it started with, this week, it started with the Bible study. And God told me, the first thing I want you to do is go back to Perry's Friday morning, like you wanted to do a month ago. That's going to be the first step that I ask you to do. And he goes, the second step is, following Sunday, I do a different gathering outside the St. Vinny's on Unity Park outside with Pastor Guy. So I'm going to attend that, and then he told me that's the next step. And then he said, Monday, I want you to go to Turning Point and to break all connections, whether it be tobacco, whether it be whatever. You go to Turning Point Monday morning, and you get yourself back together, and you come out next week strong. And that's as far as he let me see the plan. He wants me to make a couple commitments.
That's quite a few steps to show you.
He wants Friday, Saturday, and Monday. And then where I go from there, I don't know. You know what I mean? But
Just keep listening.
I had an alarm clock set this morning. I woke up, I put the news on, it was 5:30, and I said, thank you, Father. I got to that parish. And I just walked right up.
Come on, Sam.
The good thing is, I know God exists.
Oh, yeah. He got a job for you. That's no problem.
That's awesome, man. I saw you this morning. I said, praise the Lord. And, you know, one of the reasons that my heart was to move our group here was because of you. In a sense, of people like yourself. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, yesterday we were talking, I'm taking the classes with prison and all that, and my biggest issue, and I always have a problem with not the church per se, but you know, that we need to take it out of the pews and take it into the streets where the need is the greatest, you know? We go to church on Sunday and we do all this, but what are we doing in the community? What are we doing out into helping? The problem is that if we were about our Father's business like the Word says, you know what? There wouldn't be a church in the city that has any room.
It wouldn't have a noise limit or nothing.
Yeah. Because, you know, the whole thing about it is how you go make disciples. That's a command, not a request. That's from every one of us.
And that takes time.
It takes time for what?
Huh? Make disciples.
Yeah. It takes time to make disciples, but it doesn't take time to walk there and make.
Well, when I met Sam 20 years ago, he had the same heart I did. You've got to take the church outside of the four walls. You've got to get out in the marketplace, the hedges and the highways, like Jesus told us to, and beckon them to come in. And I believe we've done that with this breakfast group. It's always been open to any denomination, any walk of life, any from atheist to agnostic. It doesn't matter. If you want to come and sit here and listen to what we're going to talk about, you're going to hear about God.
And that's what God has commanded us. You know, you talk about the church in decline. The church in decline. The reason the church is in decline is because we're too comfortable sitting in our pews and not going out. You know, last year, I don't know if it was for Thanksgiving, for Halloween, or whatever it was, that you guys were doing, you did something. And you say you had tons of people there. And but see, if you only do something once a year, and the doors aren't open, and you're not reaching to the community, it's a hurting world out there.
Yes.
It's a hurting world. A world.
I'll be honest with you, like I said, I'm going through this. I can consider it a trial and tribulation. I can consider it a positive thing, because whether or not, it has to do with things that aren't important, but they are important to me because I've been brainwashed from a baby, yes, as far as money and different things that are confusing me right now. And God's saying, listen, you need, like the Bible says, be still and hear my voice, because 2 days ago, I didn't do anything, but I had the most productive day in my entire life. I had an opportunity. I had people calling me on Facebook saying, Steve, will you pray for me and my family?
Wow.
Not for money, but we're stuck in a spot where we don't like it. We would like to just pray for us. And then I had another person say, who do y'all honestly talk to when you're overwhelmed? I said, really? I said, start with just like two simple things and say, thank you, Father, and just go into that and they'll take over. I had an opportunity to pray with people, praise with people, and I had never had that opportunity. I felt like it was the most productive day of my entire life.
Yes.
But I did nothing. I did something, but I did physically nothing. I spread the word all day. I had good opportunities. It was a very, very more than I'm going to get.
And it's the tip of the iceberg.
I've been dealing with what you're dealing with.
So you're going through it.
And I'm a team.
Arthur,
it's been rewarded. Amen.
No, speak a little louder so I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with what he's been dealing with for 11 years.
Yes.
And I'm being down here in Florida, I'm seeing more headway than I have in a lot of years. I've only been down here 1 year. But I've seen God's moving in my life. Because I'm working and me. And I'm allowing God to lead me. And because of that, and that's what I'm going to do. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Because you got to work on yourself before you can tell anybody else. You got to love yourself.
Yeah.
You got to learn that. And so you'll be able to love others. And with those drugs, they don't allow you to love yourself.
Amen.
So once you realize that, and that's working on self. And God will lead you. Amen. And then you'll get that same kind of joy by serving that you did from getting with the substance, from serving. And the money, first seek the kingdom, and your needs will be added up. I went to the shelter where Pastor Sam, I was supposed to go with him, but I got tied up. One day he was there and he was going to speak to me. Well, I met this guy in the park, where I exercise, and he was telling me where they were giving food away. Well, it just so happened it was the same place where I was supposed to meet you and go to breakfast and speak to that dinner and speak where you were speaking.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I end up getting a big box of food. Then come to find out, you know, that he's been knowing you for 14 years. Well, anyway, it's furniture. They give you furniture. They furnish the whole entire house. They get furniture donated, food, you know, clothing. You come there and volunteer. I end up blessing them with a bunch of chairs, computers. best chairs that they could use. My sister had. Yeah. We didn't have a place for them. They were good chairs.
Yeah.
So suits, man. You know, and they blessed me. I mean, it's been
blessings.
It's a place, and they feed every day. You can go there, you can eat. You got to sit and listen to the word. They have service. Yeah. And everyone's well.
Well, you know the whole thing, and I like your you guys' comments and stuff.
What is that?
And the whole thing is that we forget.
Not what I ordered.
We forget where we started. We forget of the things that we've done, and then we become so passive in our in what we do. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, there's not a lack of sinners out there, but there is a lack of hope. And people are looking for hope.
Amen.
And the hope that we receive is in Christ. And that's why I'm glad that you're here today.
Me too.
And I'm glad that we moved over here because, I mean, we walk in here.
What's the matter?
What did you order?
I can fix it.
It doesn't matter. What did you order?
It doesn't matter.
I ordered it. Oh, you already got it.
I get you. No worries.
And so.
I'm not picky.
And so, when we are about what the Lord called us to do, and get back to the basics, you know, sometimes we are so heavenly minded, we get no earthly good. We get comfortable into our churches and comfortable into our seats and our pews and our fellowship and our church, but we don't do nothing. But we're not going out, you know? Oh, we put out a little announcement out there and they expect the people to come in. No, it don't work that way. If you go fishing, there's a whole lot more than just putting the bait on the hook. That's why I never catch any fish when I'm on the fish. and so, you know, when we're about our Father's business, that we seize the opportunity at every given minute, every time, that to share the gospel. And you know, sharing the gospel isn't always book, chapter, and verse.
Right.
But sharing the gospel is, you know, inviting somebody in, or just sit down and talk, let them talk.
Yeah.
Let them share their heart, what's going on. You know, so, you know, pardon me?
God gave you two ears.
That's it.
Huh?
And the one thing is that, you know, silver and gold, I don't have, but what I do have is the word.
Yeah.
And it's prayer. And so those are the things that we have in our hands, in our arsenal, but we don't use it. We got to get back to the basics, go back to where we're at, you know?
So we're going to Lupin by Texas. Waylon and Willie and the boys.
Tell them to have the white light.
Chris?
Yeah, back to the basics. I just wanted to encourage you.
Yes.
Because of where you are at in this moment.
Yes.
Like you said, going back to the basics.
Yes.
I know my freedom came from doing the very simple thing, hear the voice of God.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. And that simple thing is whatever He tells you to do, do that. Don't do what you want to do. In other words, I want to stop doing this, I want to stop doing that. Don't do that. Find out what He is specifically saying, because He's going to give you, and it may be something simple.
Yes.
Okay? Because He takes us in our need and uses simplicity.
Absolutely.
Much, many times.
Yeah.
And when you concentrate on that one thing and you get victory over that small thing,
yes,
then it builds on itself.
It builds on, yes.
Because He continues to talk, He continues to build that relationship between you and Him. You know?
Amen.
That's what happened to me. One thing at a time through the years.
And
I walked into my walk several years before giving up smoking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have a friend today, I'm burying her.
Oh.
Okay? Or not burying her, going to the viewing today.
Okay.
Okay? It's someone that I've known back since I was a teenager. You know? And I hung with her in our group, you know, through all the years.
Yeah.
The thing is she was like me, a heavy chain smoker at the time in high school. You know, a couple packs of cigarettes a day. And the Lord entered into my life, and I accepted Him into my life, and He changed things one thing at a time. And her, she's a really nice person, a very gentle soul, but there was never evidence of her coming to the Lord, although some of her friends did, you know. But she's dying of lung cancer. Okay? Which is where I know I would have been, because even after getting freedom from it, you know, when you're at 2.5 packs a day, is it
20, 30 years, yes.
Yeah, you know. So my encouragement to you is take just one step at a time. God will bring you through.
Amen. I can say exactly what you're saying is what's going on. He's not only building my faith, but like every time, maybe he'll give me a little thing, and he'll put it on my heart, and he'll say, listen, he'll make me, he'll say, repeat that, were you even listening? And I'm like, yes, Lord, I was listening. And he'll say, what did I just say to you? And now I'm on the spot. So of course I'm on the spot. I'm like, whoa. And he's like, yeah, exactly. Pay attention to what I'm saying. You know, he's talking to me, and he's giving me little obstacles, and there is little faith builders, and it's building to where, man, I'm hearing not voices, but God's talking through the Holy Spirit directly to my heart. I actually wrote a poem about it, and it went and said something like, last night I had the best experience with God in my life. Loud cheers, hallelujah. I knew it was right. Locked up mentally, my heart and soul are free. There's no other place in the world spiritually that I'd rather be. To honor God means resisting the temptation of sin. Through prayer in Jesus Christ, I know we can win. Faith is believing in something that we can't see. A power greater than us, but you know it exists for you and me. Now, I don't hear voices, but God talks directly to my heart. Connected through the Holy Spirit, and that's just the start. Jesus, Nanny, and Papa, my angels and saints, light up my path when I'm in that dark place. And remember, our God is great at the least, given numerous chances in having mercy for the weak. And he also has the ability to use you for right. He gave his only begotten son to lay down his life. Restoration of your salvation is found through Christ. But better than that, through his resurrection, you can receive eternal life. Are you willing to fight and put God first? Feed the root of your spirit before quenching your thirst. And feeding the root will allow the tree to bear beautiful fruit. Avoiding starvation, eating the truth. I pray for understanding and knowledge for you. Hate the practice, never the person. All judge him to do. Know your role. He is him, and in him we have life. So ask yourself right now, it's your choice. Do you give up or fight?
Amen.
You know,
I wrote that.
You know, you put that to a rap beat, and you probably saved hundreds of kids out there.
It's God, though. I mean,
therefore remains a rest of you. Not, you know, to write something like that, you're right there. It's a matter of taking it for yourself in the situations that you come upon, and that's where you'll get the victory right there.
That's where the joy comes.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here with you guys. I know that much. Thank you, Father.
Amen. There's a testimony that who's gonna read? I don't know, Alex. That's how
sure.
Yeah, when it's not great,
you're gonna have to read the first one. Okay. Me if you don't want.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Thaddeus 2:11. The spring semester has come to an end. We are so encouraged by all the Lord we've done.
I did it.
We have seen 110 people receive Christ this spring on our campus and through our outreach trips. And we have baptized 45 students.
Wow.
The harvest is truly plentiful, and we are so grateful for the partnership to see young people encounter the love of Christ. We can't wait to see what God will do this summer. I was born into a Christian home, but my family broke apart when I was only 5 years old. After my parents divorced, I didn't have a good relationship with my father because he got mixed up with drugs and other worldly things. I was raised by a single mom who worked very hard to give me everything I needed. We attended church on and off, but busyness began to run our lives. Seeing all that my mom had to go through, I decided that I couldn't rely on anyone but myself to be successful and happy. I began working towards the best at everything and always putting myself first. But I couldn't help but consistently feeling empty and unfulfilled. I tried going to church more, but the good feeling from Sunday wore off before Tuesday. I tried meaningless relationships and being part of the cool crowd, but it did was make me feel worse. I got lost in trying to make others see me as something I wasn't. During my senior year of high school, I knew I couldn't afford college and desperately wanted to find where I belong. So when approached by an Army recruiter, I jumped at the opportunity to travel the world and have a great job in surgery in the reserves. After all of my training was done, I applied to USF and got in. During my first few weeks at USF, I got mixed up with the wrong crowd. But one day, I was walking on campus with my friend and was asked to fill out a survey about what I believed. They asked me why I believed I'd be going to heaven, and I wasn't sure at the time.
Is that sure? In a way, you don't have to believe that.
But it did cause me to think about it seriously. Soon I began to meet for Bible studies with the campus minister at Cornerstone, and even attended church liquor. After about a month, I understood what it meant to be a daughter of God through Christ. I saw that life outside of a relationship with Him would never satisfy me. So I dedicated my whole life to Jesus and surrendered all that I had planned for my life to His perfect will. I was baptized and became a member of Cornerstone. Now, a year and a few months later, I lead Bible studies as a student Bible study leader. I get to help girls just like me live a life free from worldly desires and pleasures that lead to emptiness. God continues to sanctify every area of my life. I can't wait to spend the rest of my life leading girls to God's great grace and seeing Him change their life as it has done mine, Sarah. Please pray for those who recently are saved will be firmly established in their relationship with God and come into the life of the church. That students who are going home for the summer will continue to grow in their faith. That we will meet soft-hearted students during the summer semesters for divine appointments as we share the gospel with students at the orientation sessions for new students this summer.
That's right in our backyard here. University of Tampa and stuff. Good to know. And the life she's going to be able to touch going in the military, along working with the campus ministry. I just think it's awesome.
It is. Bill, how you doing?
In the Lord, doing the same thing, because what's He want? He wants us to trust Him. And like I said, sometimes you got to go back to the basics. You know, if you don't think you're saved, start getting saved all over again. And then, but it doesn't have any. It's what God's doing throughout the whole body. that making you trust him more. And yeah, doing great, you know, just trusting him. And, I had a dream, it was the funniest thing in the world. Listen, now, I got saved 47 years ago. Oh, I don't have that pad. And why I'm saying that is, I helped out at the Haven at Rest for 4 years, and I didn't realize it, but the word is insidious, and it's like slowly, 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 and slowly, bad company. Remember that song, Till the Day I Die? Bad company. So, and then you know what? It's like, well, you know, I still have Jesus, and yeah, I have a beer with you, and I have a cigarette with you, but what happens is, my standards were getting lower and lower, and the dream I was really, really happy. I said, you know, all I've been doing is fighting fear, trying to be perfect, you know, perfect in Christ, perfect and perfect. I said, you know, I don't want to be perfect. I'm not, you know, don't be perfect no more. And he asked me how I'm doing, and it's like, you know what? Who's that? Turn that off. Anyway, the issue I'm trying to say is, I'm his age now. You just had a birthday, didn't you?
June 70.
And I'm thinking, how come I don't have the heart? And I want to give a testimony about Romeo. Last time we all left here from breakfast, you know, when we hung out, and I thought, well, I said, God, I want compassion, and I started going down the hill to rest, and la la la, and they're all crackheads taking care of crackheads and so on, all that and stuff. But I love them, and they were my brothers, and they know Jesus, but they're pretty well out there, you can say it like that. And but I was getting, that's the only acceptance I had. And my clothes stink, you know, I got holes in them. I think, where could I go to church? And I don't even have long pants. You know? And I started identifying too much. And I always thought you win your friends to the Lord. But I got it too deep. It was like that movie, the detective guy, you know, and it's like, well, these are my buddies here. They don't say nothing about my buddies. You know? I reckon, I know, all of them down the street, and I go, hey, man, I know that. And my heart's there. But all of a sudden, it was people, I had like five people saying, Phil, you're not helping.
You got sucked into the life. Of being a
well, and then it's like
it's a life.
The lust was I wanted friends. I didn't want sex. Yeah. I don't do nothing up with. I mean, I had 10 people. They all smoked in front of me, and I, you know, but I was the runner. See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a life. It's a life.
Yeah, well, 47 years, and I wasn't mentally ill. It was an act. I'm not sick. The point I'm trying to get to is I was so disheartened after 4 years. I'm not going to go off too much, but I went to school to be with and learn how to deal with alcoholics. Psychology, business, and I'm trying to tell you, and then Jesus, boy, they can talk Jesus like you don't believe. And then say, hey, but I will for $20, do you? You know, my life's cold as hell, man. You're like hybrid Jesus, you know, joke. So how am I doing? I finally had to make a decision. I'd rather be alone.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Go through the hell of being alone, which you get goofy being alone. And I was so disheartened. I said, you know, I've been with these people, Dave the Cook. I don't even remember Dave the Cook. I love the brother. I mean, everything I ever dreamed about, man, I got to watch NASCAR together, and we're hiking all over the firms together, and having a cold one together, and all that stuff. Was it a ministry? Was it a ministry, Steve?
And
then he went, no, because he calls Jesus asked me to do was to love him.
Oh, okay.
All right. But at the other hand, which way was it going? I see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just as comfortable with whores and crack whores, and I'm looking to see if that's somebody I know out here. Maybe I got a cigarette I can bump up. Right? It is getting to be, it's a lifestyle.
That's what and you gotta watch out.
And I'm realizing I'm getting a root of bitterness. Those guys are more real. Right? You know, I've got to smoke a little quickie one, you know, the spice. You guys were more real than anybody. See? And the need, I cried at night. I said, man, I'm freezing in my house, and they're on the road. I mean, they're in the dirt, and they're in the, and I go try to find them with a sleeping bag. I come. So what was the bad thing? Wasn't any of that. Wasn't any of the sin. It was the thing of, after 4 years, I didn't see any change. They've gotten worse. And so God had me come here to say, Steve, for you to have a brain at all, to do that form, maybe God's changing it. God's changing you.
Without a doubt.
And I'm thinking, I don't see anybody. You know, I've been in all of the churches and all that. I've done it. So the root of bitterness was like, oh, man, I need sincerity. I don't have any hope. But washing thing, and all of a sudden somebody gave me two sets of washers and dryers. All of a sudden, God pulls all the blessings away. So are you still my friend?
See, I would.
See, God pulls all my blessings away. I lost my house, did the thing. Luckily, my little dog didn't die. And they tried to help him at the Haven and give him a free shot and put him in there. My little dog's in my car. But what I'm saying is, I have to just sit there and go, you know, I'm out. You see, he keeps running into me. Doc died, you know, he heard that. I'm shot. But Fritz has been the faithful one. Jeez. I come in there out of my mind. At the St. Pete Diner, I'm trying to tell you, this is 27 years, I think. Painted houses with them, done all this or something. Mm-hmm. Nobody loves me. Do you ever get like that? Nobody loves me.
Every I'm
talking
once
to
in
you,
a
Steve.
While.
Nobody
yeah,
loves
no, no, no.
me.
I know. Every once in a while, I'm human. I get down on myself. I get down on myself.
And the bad thing about drugs is you have a good time.
Well,
have a good time.
It goes away. No, it's a constant. It's a constant change.
There's a pleasure of sin. This is where Audrey kicks in.
Yeah.
There's a pleasure of sin.
No, there is pleasure and pain. You have to identify where those two
are. When that testimony I heard in the thrill of church, man, it was great being at the Haven, but right after dinner, poof, and where is it?
It was
a short season.
Yeah, there's a song. That goes, all the lonely people, where did they all come
right.
from?
We
right?
are lonely.
We're all lonely. I a lot of times I think that there are, and forgive me if I'm not beating on the church, because the church is an establishment of God, and God created upon this rock I'll build my church. But the people inside, there are many lonely people in there. There are very many lonely people. And that's why for us is that, you know, why doesn't the church grow? Why? Are we fishing? Are we out about doing our father's business, or do we get comfortable in our own? You know, I see Pastor Eric is doing more events, more things for the community. I mean, there's a ton of people out there in the community to help. You know, why is Gateway not growing? What are they doing? They're feeding the same people all the time. The same people come all the time. What are they doing? See, you know, God says, be fishers of men, not tenders of their quarry. You know?
One thing you said that made sense when me and you were talking that day, you said, Arthur, it's not about you. But see, when he said that, it all clicked in my head. Pastor Sam said that. I said, you know what? I'm trying to look at things in my eyes. So that's why I don't judge because, you know, a lot of people are lonely. Everything that we're saying at this table is true. But you got to understand, when people are lonely, they want company. And you go and help assist that church or something, and they make a pass at you or something. It's not, I mean, they're lonely. It's lonely women. It's lonely men. I mean, You go in there, now you had no intention. You might not even have seen that woman in a sexual way. But you're sitting there helping. And you know, being a man, when somebody's coming on you, just like women know, when a man is coming on.
I don't get that anymore. No, this.
But I'm just saying, it's so many ways. It's like just like,
I will tell you, if I believe it was a good thing, because I look for Jesus, and I look for faith, and I see the people that are real. See, and Dave the cook, I watched him. And he went over and prayed for this guy. Now, he went off his tree. I mean, they had he's out of herbs blowing out of his head. This guy built the Tropicana down there. He got it. Like you said, but there's something so dang gone deep, so painful. I've been with his mother from Mother's Day to the whole deal like that. But all of a sudden, there's this, he lifted that right off. And I'm trying to get back to Romeo. I thought, who's this guy? ZZ Top? ZZ Top. He has a big beard. Yeah. So, and the problem with me, you guys prayed the other day, is I am so full of me. Even though I read the Bible.
We all suffer from that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and I'm not getting up there dimensions apart. Yeah. I'm trying to get to the place of, I'm a cow that needs to be milked. And you, and I'm back here because you got so much to give.
Got it.
But Romeo was sitting here, and I'm like, Romeo's kind of weird. I don't have any hair, I'm jealous. You don't have Romeo's, right? I judged him. And we were hanging out, we set out the things here. He didn't have anywhere to go, and he had that old van. But I know what this place is. I was born here in Tickets. Stay with me.
Yeah.
I know what this place is. That's right, of course. I know what this place is. Out of the house. From the shoe walk in this way. I go, man, I've been hustled out of yoga. It ain't gonna happen. I don't care what your story is, I don't care if you just, everybody just lost their mind. So anyways, I'm out there, I'm getting in my car as fast as I can go. So what happened to the compassion for the homeless? Right? Romeo, on the other hand, this was convicting to me.
Yeah, that was a good story, what happened last week after we left. Go ahead.
And so, I'm out here, she's up here, she's hot. I'm gonna get those
searches.
And I'm getting my car, so I just can't get hustled. I don't have a nickel, I don't have a penny, I don't care if I got $400 in my pocket. I ain't getting nothing. And now my heart's on the other side, you see? I really don't care if I go to hell. I really don't care. Romeo's out there, he starts to pay with her.
So you work in the morning now, you're the good Christian.
Now you see the goodness of your hair. 47 years, I wrote Billy Graham, put the beat, put the bone, put the bone. All of a sudden, I'm driving by, and she's crying. What was my heart? I got cancer of the heart.
Come on.
I'd rather jump in a dumpster with you and go to church. I got a church. I go, you know where I get church? I get it in Redding, California. I want to go to Redding, California. So I get that school of every Holy Ghost. Guess what? I tried to go to Praise Cathedral, and the guy died that Sunday. What the heck is this? I'm going to die. So I was mad at him. Now it's called Elevate.
Wow.
I got to go to Elevate. Steve, I'm talking to you because,
I'm listening.
I'm talking to you because
you are there.
Me and my dog, we're going to make it. He's faithful. But he says, no, you're not, because you need Andre. Because I'm going to come back here. I go to the whatever that place is called, traffic division, whatever that place is called. And there's Andre. Oh, I'm wandering at some Masonic temple thing over there, and there's this. And you said, why don't you just come down to Mahoney's? I said, you chewed my ass out. And no reason, last time I was at Mahoney's, that was a really good experience. He's Puerto Rican. What's your house? What else is he supposed to do?
You gotta quit wearing milk-bone underwear.
That's it. So here's the story. You've got more going on for you. Can't say it for anybody else. But for you to have that brilliant mind, the devil has just flat lied to you.
Yeah.
That's when he said he might not like me. I can talk till tomorrow afternoon, but he might not like my personality. But his wife sat here with him. We had the crazy tattoo lady all over the place.
Oh yeah.
That was wonderful. What was that place? They sell soup and all that. Anyway, and he goes, blah, blah, blah. And his wife says, but he loves you. So he can't get away from that. I might not like certain personalities, but I still love them. But see, I had to go to the street to have a family. That's that. That's that.
But you know, those of us that don't have it need to really pray, because when you're saved, you're never alone. You got to get the revelation that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's with you all the time. I know they're not somebody you can reach out and touch, or you can even feel like you could talk to, like we're talking right now. But believe me,
you're a great teacher, Mahoney. You're a great teacher. I do not identify.
I'm trying to.
You are trying
to. But all I'm saying is,
a great mind. I haven't quite figured out where you're going, though.
I had people try to identify.
I know he's going to heaven.
Identify and put a label on this meeting right here. This morning, they said, where are you going? He said, why are you looking like that? I said, well, looking like what? Last week I had a $22 an hour job, cash. This week I don't. I said, what's the difference in the look? What's the difference? And he goes, man, you just ain't yourself. I said, I'll tell you. Because God's got it on my heart, I'm going to that Bible study at Perry's in about 15 minutes.
Wow. He goes, you're going to go sit up there? I seen him sitting up there. He goes, yeah, it looked like a bunch of older fellas. And I said, what does it matter? What does it matter?
Hey, first of all, I just had to resent that older fella.
I saw him. I saw
him. You resemble that. You resemble that.
The first thing
I resemble that remark
was, what does it matter age or what anybody looks like when you're talking about God or Jesus? I said, never mind that. I said, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, you're not looking at anybody's outside. You're talking from the heart. You're talking with your soul. You feel the love. You don't hear the love. You feel it through the voice. I don't hear God talking.
The thing about being an older person is we're living our second youth.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like them guys are saying.
Yeah. You do? Now my bones are.
I just was very blown back, we'll say, by that comment from that gentleman, because this is somebody that I've established a relationship only through the Bible and the Word. So for him to take me that far back, I said, wow, this guy, he's where they say, like in Proverbs or something, the wise man's the fool. And I don't want to be the wise man thinking he's the fool, because I know I'm the fool too. So I want to know that. I walked away and I prayed for him. I said, God, he's really taking this thing serious by casting judgment. It doesn't matter what a person age or what does that have to do with anything? It used to be about the Word.
You know what? One of the things
we first admit, when none of us are perfect.
One of the things that we get into our twilight years, you know, some of us get older.
Twilight.
Twilight. Anyway, but you know, the thing is that, you know, we sit around the table and we can talk about our war wounds. We can talk about our heyday. You know, look what the Lord has done and what we did
what
and
we
all.
Used to do, but what have you done lately?
Yeah, well, yeah, we did all these outreaches. We did all this, went to all these conferences, and all that is great and wonderful. But it ain't jack. It don't mean nothing if you don't do something with it. And sometimes you may not have the ability like you had before, jumping off the truck like I used to, go do all the stuff with the little kids, and go out into, like one night, I don't know if any of y'all were with us, one night we at 1 o'clock in the morning, we're on 34th Street down there, across the street from a bar. We take the truck out there, bring the grill. At 1 o'clock in the morning, start grilling. And the people are coming out of the bar. Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And we start to minister, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, those are the things that are fun. And you know, but it's hard for me to keep my eyes open past hey, you know. But here's the deal though. Here's the deal. We're not done. You know, thank God that we've been through
our swords.
Yeah, thank God my brother here is going through what he's going through, but at least he's got his head up because he's the only way. All the stuff that Phil has gone through in his life and search. Because here's the deal, man. Every one of us has a need. And they need a fellowship. And even though, LZ, we can fellowship with God all day long. But you know what? And you know, I'm not saying nothing because I have to get up there. I got to get in my closet and I got to pray. But you know what? I need to touch somebody. I need that person. That's why I love Elsie because I call him the bishop. Because when you go up there, he's sitting up high. And I go up there, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And Elsie is listening, you know. And I thank God for that because we have a great cloud of witnesses right here. Look at what we've done. Look what we're still. We're not done yet. You know, we go through our ups and our downs. But I'm just thankful that God is getting ready. I told somebody the other day, I said, you get ready. Who's that guy that says, get ready, get ready, get ready? I don't know who that guy is in the band. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Because get ready. Because you know what? You know, I had the privilege of discipling my brother here. And now I had a I hope that talk I had with you and your wife the other day, remember? I hope she didn't get offended.
No, she didn't. That's what he was saying. It's tough being out there in the field, you know, because of all the temptations and all the pitfalls. But it's also rewarding.
Yeah.
And with me, it's not about the money. See, this time when you like I said, just because you lost a $20 an hour job, the money don't make you. You make the money. God made man. Man made money. God's over money. We're God's over money. So you don't let money make you. You be the same. You just have money. You don't have money, you just don't have money. But it doesn't change on the outside. You still take a shower just because you don't have any money. Don't mean you stinking. Was you stinking when you had money? Then why you stinking now? See, no, don't do that. No, you be just as clean, just as proud. Hey, because you know who sits on the throne.
Promises are true.
So, hey, even when you fall, you get back up. You say, forgive me, Father. You get back up. And you say, hey, because it's hard out there. The
devil wants to knock you down. But when you fall forward, because you're still making progress.
What's great about this whole group is there's so much diversification in this group. You got an evangelist at the end of the table here, okay, his heart is just to bend evangelism, get lost, and what a great example, and his heart for the homeless and stuff, and then you got a guy sitting right next to you that's been to hell, and he has an unbelievable witness of going there and coming back, so he can identify with people who've been to hell, they are going through hell, you know, he's real, you got Mr. Christian businessman over here, so you got a great attraction there to people, you know.
The story's all related to the same thing though, when you talk about building all from trials and tribulations and past
and tests, and they're all faith. Different backgrounds.
Yeah.
I'm sure, brother, you have a lot of people you can reach out to. And Andre is a great family man. If you know his family and stuff, and it would appear over the years, and your kids all know the Lord. I mean, it would be hard to say they don't know the Lord, because my kids grew up next to theirs, and they all have kind of an effect on each other. So we, even though one may be backslidden or whatever for a little bit, they're coming back.
Amen.
We know the prayers are bringing them back.
Right.
Phil here can reach a lot of bikers. Phil has a lot of experiences, even overseas, you know, with Christian groups, so he's got a little diversification. I can go through all this as a computer tech guy he knows it. He's the cat's pajamas. He's Phil Turns.
Phil started out with Youth for Christ, and his early.
Got one more, don't we come out?
Well, we got two more. But
yeah.
Oh, Disney here. He's a Cardinal fan. You know, that speaks everything to me. That's my team.
All right. He's got to get out with the guys. That's all.
I mean, but he's got loads of wisdom over the years. You see, if we can tap each other's potential and share, like the body of Christ shared you fitly.
I grab the people. I see what you're saying. Different characteristics, unique characteristics. I can grab people you can't grab. Next thing you know, we do become
as a community.
Amen.
As a community, we really
have a lot. God uses us, you know what I mean?
Got to go out there and do our
when heart. David wanted an army, what did he do? He went out there and got the ones that nobody
else wanted. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the Master Pastor Institute program with Without Walls, Pastor Randy was taught, what he was preaching on was about David's 300 dysfunctional men. Back then, even in my spirit, I said, my people are going to be dysfunctional.
But you know, when you speak it to somebody, they rise to your occasion. You know what I mean? Because they want to live up to your expectations. And that's what David did with those 300 men.
And that's it. That's
he raised them up from where they were.
That's my joy that, you know, there is no such thing as a worthless person.
No.
You know, it's what you speak into them. And you love them where they're at. Even though they're lying down there, when we did our coffee runs at night and these guys are in the ditch and we're giving them coffee and stuff, we don't judge them. We love them. We love them. And because that's what God calls, because, you know, if it's not for the grace of God, we might be there. We all have issues. We all have struggles with family or whatever. But the point is that when we come together, that we're here, iron sharpens iron, so it's the word. We're sharing our testimony, sharing what God has done in our lives and what He's doing, you know? It's awesome. And the thing is that, guys, I really feel in my spirit, man, that, you know, that there are the greater times are yet to come. I love that song, man. Greater times are yet to come.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Huh?
He's a chain
breaker. He's a chain breaker. Amen.
I love that one too.
We can stop singing. The joy is, you know, and I thank the chaplain, Bob, Dave, whatever it is. Yeah, Dave, because, you know, I'm going somewhere I like with that prison thing, really, you know. And I'm going to tell you right now, because I'm one of the harder ones in there, because I'm telling you, the little guys are a bunch of liars and manipulators, and they know how to play the game. And you have to, and I tell people, you have to be careful and not listening to their BS, because, you know, if you don't know how to decipher, they're going to take you and clean you out, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I'm in the on that side telling people, I say, look, man, you can be all righteous and all holy and floating up here. Oh, the poor guy. Dude, wait up.
Don't worry, you'll get your wings clipped.
Yeah. And that's the thing, Andre, that, you know, but, you know, that only happened. I mean, my wife, she'll tell you. My wife, can I tell you? all the ooh that hurt, you know.
My wife's like my wife.
It was
not, no nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Them two are right there. That's why I told him, don't tell your wife. What does he do? Tell his wife. Smack. And the least they know, the better it is, you know. But the thing is that they are our helpmate. But the greatest glory that we have is that when we're able to come together for and share, you know, yeah, we have issues, Andre. Yeah, you know, with our families or whatever. But Andre, you know, you're an awesome man. You're an awesome man. And that's why I wanted to ask you, did you prepare something for us or what?
Well, just
a short word in season and then a testimony. And so I got up this morning, I was up 4:15 or something like that. And as the old Proverbs talks about, the older you get, the earlier you get up.
And,
and for whatever reason, it is. But so I went back to something I did for 30 years, and I read, today's the 17th, so I read Proverbs 17. And so, better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife.
Amen.
End of story. Okay, as far as the testimony of this table. Okay. Because, you know, we often settle for so much less than what God would have us to have. And His treasures are of eternal value. No man or woman can take away. Now, the enemy wants to. Because when you walk with hope, what happens? You become an effective witness to the people around you. And I'll just share this thing. I was coming home on a Wednesday night service, and we prepare food for people, and so I'm coming home, and I go my particular route. You know how men are habitual? They just do the same thing, the same way, and they very rarely veer. So I go down this habitual road, and I see this guy, this long-haired, gray-haired hippie, sitting in a wheelchair, looking at the sunset. Now, I've passed that guy for years, and I looked at him. This time I stopped. I says, hey man, you really enjoying that sunset? He says, yeah. Because he has his beer and his wheelchair and one leg cut off. And he's not a believer. But a believer stopped and talked to him for half an hour. And I am not a very good Baptist with success. I just want to plant seeds. You know what? God is the one who brings the increase. So here's the guy. He's been playing guitar for 50 years. He's an excellent bass player. So I says, hey, would you consider playing bass at our church? And by the way, we'll pay you. Well, you know, churches are famous for taking, not for giving. We got to get back, like that old song goes, we got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back, for we're liable to be running in the wrong direction. We've got to get back to the Bible. And so when we reach out, we are to reach out in faith, because that's what pleases God. That's what gets recorded in the book. That's what gets recorded in the book of remembrance, according to Malachi 3:16. Every time you remember the Father, it gets recorded. So what's your book look like? Is it a pamphlet? Or is it an encyclopedia? You know? Every time. You even say the Lord's Prayer. What does it say right off the bat? Our Father. It's just been recorded. The Father has been remembered. And you know, so this guy, his name is Mikey. And I'm looking forward to the future with him, because this is what, you know, as a chaplaincy program, we are disciples. Okay? I'm not a very good fisherman. When I put my hook down, it says, eat at Joe's, not at Andre's. If I want fish, I go to Publix. Guaranteed catch. But planting seeds, then it's up to the Holy Spirit for God to grow them. And you know, I just want to keep planting. Keep planting. Keep planting. Keep planting. And on the way, the enemy wants to take out planting. He wants to take them out.
You know what you guys are? You really want to know what you guys are? Yeah,
but besides that, the two guys in the balcony,
guys,
and
this is what you guys are. This is what you guys are. This is what you guys are. You guys, since I want to raise up an army, Gideon's army. These guys were chosen. They were small. Because to be any larger, you can get the glory. You see? And he so choose them by. See, they're alert. What's going around? Each and every one here is alert. When somebody comes in amongst our midst, you know,
be deceived.
Right. It's hard to be deceived. You know, multitude of counselors. You know, there's wisdom. You know, and that's what we are. Gideon's army. Okay, and I'm not going to say that there's a Gideon here. I'm saying that each of us are in that army. Oh God, I like to look at Jesus as my Gideon. Okay? And, you know, we worry about people taking advantage of us and stuff. But we're in the army, and there are lots of people around you first. To be able to pick up on when someone's trying to pull the wool over your eyes, you know. So, you know, I don't really worry too much about that. I understand why you would if they're getting into your finances and destroying what you can do. But at the same time, God's raised the army, and this is very effective.
I'm a caretaker. You know what? I don't like abuse, and I see too many people are gullible, and so I'm on that to let you know how cow ate the cabbage, you know, because you know I don't want the church to be fleeced and allowing people to come in and be fleeced, and so you know what do? We sit in the back and we watch people, you know. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of our families. But yeah, you know, in the society today, they come in and police. And what happens every time they police, then that tears that person down. Now, that's why a lot of churches don't do much, because they're afraid to get policed. And so that's why you have to, you know, be aware. And when you've been there, and you know the game, and so you watch people, and you ask God for discernment on that individual, and you give that person enough rope to hang himself. That's what I would tell people. Give them enough rope to help themselves. And then you, boom, you bring that on them. But you know what? Because people are gone. People, we're supposed to love. Yes, we are, but don't let them get in. Don't let the wolf is trying to get in the church and has been there and set up home. It's set up home in the wolf is like a roaring lion trying to devour. And they devour. And you have to have the discernment to watch and see and make sure. And so, you know, that's why I say, you know, we had a great discussion last night about justice and this and that and all that. and like one lady, they showed a video where one lady, she was selling a meth, or, you know, so that she could make a little bit of money, right? You know, from helping. And then she started selling more and all that, and all of a sudden she got one person, you know, ran her out, she got busted, and they gave her, like 20 years. And she was pissed, but they gave her 20 years. I was always selling meth, you know? I didn't kill nobody. They gave her 20 years for my dad. And I'm saying to myself, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. You know, I go back into the street stuff, you know? And okay, you're a housewife. What's a housewife doing selling meth? There's a program on TV, a sitcom, not a sitcom, but it's a program where these ladies want to make money and they started selling drugs.
That's one of the pitfalls. That's what you just said. While I've been out there this week, while I was out there, two girls wanted me to pimp them. Basically, because they needed protection. They said they need protection. They gonna make the money. Sure, just like he said, they already know everything. That's what they do. And if you're not careful, you'll fall. Because look, I need some money. I could have fell into that. I could have said, you know, I got it and watched it and got the money.
Let's say, rationalize it and said, hey, you're doing a good thing by protecting those girls.
Yeah, you tried.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough
out
the drive with
it. You're
going to
do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he said, brother, that's how you get the seller. You know the people. You out there. You know who's who and everything else. When you out in the field, you know everything. See, I've been out there this week. Well, out there. So, and I learned and met a lot of different people. So when you out there meeting these people and stuff, sure, it's temptation. And I said, man, I need some money. It's temptation. All I'm doing, they got money. This person got that. If I run, like you said, a runner, if I run and go get, what am I hurting? They're going to do it anyway, but that ain't right. See, so, you know,
we in our sinful nature, we can justify anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To make it seem right.
Been there, done that. That's why I'm saying.
When the night goes down, when the lights go down,